for those that don't, for those just to go backtrack. So just give us your background.
Okay, yeah. Story. So 10 years or eight and
give
a
us,
half.
Give us, who is Des O'Neill?
Give us the long story.
Give us the long story.
So born and raised in Marshfield.
Big Marshfield family.
Small big Marshfield family. Like, we've all been here forever. I've got family that work all around town. My cousin works at the Boys and Girls Club. And so I went to Marshfield High School and was in the telecommunications and in the digital media program. Yeah. And got suggested, and it was Czech or Soslo came up to me and was like, hey, we do this program over with the public access TV station. And I had actually been volunteering since I was like 14 at the Plymouth Access station, yeah. or Plymouth Access channel. And so I had the experience, I wanted to get involved, and it was like super fun. I got to meet you, John. I got to meet Chris Lawn, and then I got to meet all of our wonderful producers. I was, I had two main roles at that job. It was doing the technical directing on Bob's show. So I was like, I was a technician on Bob's show. And then I did all the, I ran the government board meetings. For the government meetings. Yeah, it was fun. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So, made a lot of friends that way.
It was definitely a really great time for MCTV because we were still like in our early stage.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say, I don't know if rebellious is the right word, but there was a real almost kind of counterculture-y element to MCTV as well, because like we were kind of making stuff as we go, making up as we go along because we weren't experienced. And I think like your group of interns was a very neat group of interns.
Yeah, we had a fun time.
It was you, Matt, and Zach who were kind of like, what's the best way to say it? Like, you guys were different. You guys were not juvenile delinquents, but you know, I could see you guys teetering on the edge of the, like, I think it was like, I forgot who said it. Like, I think it might have been Jason Saza was like, they could be a handful, but I feel like they would fit well with you guys.
Yeah.
And so,
well, there was, it was,
no, it was like, Zach he said that about.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
He's like, how's Zach? I was like, he's great.
Yeah. No, he was great. It's just sometimes you didn't know if he was going to show up or not.
But I think like Jason really respected you guys because like you guys thought outside the box.
Yeah. Well, it was cool. He did this cool thing that year. He just put a project in everyone's hands, and basically the only directions was make a documentary. And so we all did our own thing. Zach took it in sort of like a mockumentary way. I did the one about the school. And I'm trying to remember, I think he actually did something like different.
He did a motion project. You remember HP had those commercials with like the hands?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
And I remember like he was raving about all three projects.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was really cool and they were totally different.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, but that year he actually got, what's his name? Morgan Spurlock to come in and watch our documentaries and talk to us. And that was so crazy.
And you got yours critiqued by
Mine critiqued. Me and Zach Andrada got to spend, we didn't go to our class after digital media. We spent an hour and 45 minutes just hanging out with him.
The story behind that's great because I guess a former student of his was working for Morgan Spurlock and needed to interview kids.
Yeah.
And Jason was like, I'll let him interview kids on one condition. He has to give a one-hour workshop afterwards.
That's what's like, so great about Soslo. He's good at stuff like that.
So we'll jump back maybe to your internship a little bit afterwards. But so after high school, where'd you go to school?
Went to the Evergreen State College. So that's Washington State. About an hour south of Seattle in the capital of Washington, Olympia. It's this really cool, kind of crazy school.
It's a really different, I've heard about it. It sounds like a really kind of
Hampshire College, I think, is the
easiest. I think it makes Hampshire College look very conservative.
It does. Okay, so that's the like closest comparison point. But yeah, they're crazy. I mean, you can Google Evergreen State College, and they were in the news 2 years ago. Not for good things, but it's interesting. They're cool. They have a 95% acceptance rate. They're basically like a community college like that.
Really?
But they let anyone give it a shot. You know, they're like, this is a different type of education. Maybe you didn't do good in high school, but we want you to give this a try. It's like 45% freshman dropout rate.
Wow.
Like 45% of people are like, whoa, no, I can't do this. I thought it was going to be easy, and it's not. It's completely self-directed, coming up with all your own projects, you know, sometimes even writing your own classes and things like that. So it was really fun. And then I did that. I graduated. I spent 5 years there. I took some time off every once in a while. If there wasn't a class that I wanted to take, I would just take the quarter off. And they were really cool like that.
Really?
Like, it was that easy all the time.
Wow.
And then after that, graduated, kind of worked at a sandwich shop for a while. I was making podcasts. Mm-hmm. I was in the stand-up comedy scene. I wasn't doing it, but I was working with the stand-up comedians. And then I decided, I was just talking to my family and stuff, and I was like, okay, it's been 8 years. Like, it's been 8 years. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go back.
All right.
It was good timing, too.
It was funny because I found out you were back because your cousin Joe, who you mentioned, knows my girlfriend. They volunteered together, worked at the Boys and Girls Club, and we were at the gala, and we were talking, and he was like, oh, yeah, my cousin used to do something. And I was like, oh, really? Who? And he was like, Desmond. I was like, what? He's like, he just came back. I was like, what? And so it was just like, oh, it was a real kind of oh, my God moment. And then we had a job opening around that time period, and it's just like everything
worked
out. Yeah, we
connected. Out. No, it was perfect.
So jumping back to Washington, tell me about the van.
The van, right. So that was actually funny. So that was related to Evergreen.
So that was a school project.
That was a school project. So I worked at the public access TV station in Olympia. And it was TCTV, Thurston County Television. And they...
Is that what it's called, Thurston County?
Yep, yeah, Thurston County was where Olympia... So okay. Olympia was in Thurston County. And they were great. They were so cool. Actually, like, very similar to this place. And my boss there had this 1984 Volkswagen Vanagon that he was like, I don't know why the thing doesn't start. But I could get it to start. And so he was like, here you go. Sold it to me for, like, near to nothing. And it drove for like 2.5 years, which was amazing. About a year after I got it, I was looking for stuff to do at Evergreen. I didn't really want to sign up for any of the classes. So I wrote an independent learning contract where you literally just write your own course. You write, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read these books. I'm going to write these papers. I'll submit it all to you as a teacher. And you can like grade it and send it back to me. And I got it approved. And the course was to turn the Volkswagen Vanagon into a mobile TV studio where I would pick people up and shuttle them around Olympia in exchange for an interview. And so they'd sit in the back and I'd just ask them questions while I drove them around.
So it was just you and you were just driving them around?
It was just me, and I had on the dashboard was a 4-channel video switcher so I could switch between the 4 cameras inside.
So give us an idea how this van, I didn't know about how the van was set up. I just heard that you had a mobile TV studio.
So
tell me how the van was set up, because this really, as a car guy and as like a techie weirdo, this really intrigues
me. It was
me.
Super fun. So on eBay from China, you can get a 4-camera security camera setup with a few hundred feet of like RCA for like $50, right. Like for nothing. Okay. And so I just drilled that in. I mean, the van was kind of junky to begin with, so I just drilled it into everywhere.
Don't care.
Put one on the dashboard pointing forward, put one pointing at me, and then 2 in the back seats so you could get 2 angles on the back seat.
Oh my God.
And then they all plugged into like a hard switcher. So it wasn't actually for a television. It was like the one that you'd plug like your VCR and your DVD player and your video games, and then it all connects
like
to the
TV. Like a bang switcher.
You just push a button.
Yeah.
And so I had them all plugged into that, and then that was plugged into a VCR camera that I could just put a VHS in and hit record.
Oh my God.
And I would switch between the cameras while I was driving, and I had the audio board down by my side, and I would adjust the audio levels. So that was crazy. Definitely borderline illegal, but it was super fun. I didn't, whatever, no one got hurt. And
I mean, the people are really consenting cool. to do this.
Oh, they were consenting. No, I mean, just like driving around running a TV studio. Yeah. I'm sure I
How'd you find people to...
I put flyers all around town. So it was kind of like it was a college town. There was a lot of bars. So I would put them at the bars because I thought it would be funny to get people who needed a ride home.
Yeah, safe ride. You're giving people a safe ride home.
Give them a safe ride home in exchange for a hilarious drunken interview. And that was always really funny.
Oh, my God.
There's a couple of those.
What was the best interview you ever had?
Well, I think the most classic one was I picked these people up. It was 3 people from the bar. They needed a ride home. It was 2 in the morning. And Olympia is a rainforest. It's in a rainforest. So it would be like crazy amounts of rain sometimes. It happened to be one of those nights. And like the streets turn into rivers. There's so much rain there. And we were driving them home on one of those nights. And little did I know, since the last time I filled my gas tank, my gas gauge like got stuck at halfway. So I didn't know I had no gas in the truck. And I got halfway to their house when the thing starts sputtering. And I realized, and I'm looking at the gas, I'm like, there's gas in it, what's going on? And then I realized, oh wait, that needle hasn't moved in a long time.
Oh my God.
Luckily, we weren't too far from a gas station, but a part of the episode is pushing the van to the gas station, trying to get it started, flooding the engine, then killing the battery, then those people getting in a regular taxi to get the rest of the ride.
Oh my God.
Home.
Did you air this? Did you air this show anywhere, or was it just
this
like
went
a
on
project?
TV in Olympia, and it was on the public access TV station in Olympia, and it was on YouTube. It's all on YouTube. If you look up talk show to go. You might have to add Desmond O'Neill to it to get it, but you'll find him.
Did you hear that, everyone? If you do talk show to go, you can do that. What's Community Me like out in north of the Pacific Northwest?
It's probably, they set out there, they all look up to Massachusetts as like the hub.
Yeah.
And I found that in using us as their role model, they really run it just like we run it out here. I mean, really? Like the what I saw,
because I know there's certain areas of the country that Community Me is big in. It's like New England, maybe like Minnesota, Midwest,
Midwest.
Then Pacific Northwest. It's like the big areas.
Yep, but still, it's like nothing like it is out here because they'll have one big station, but they'll be far apart from each other. Whereas we just have like, we'll have a station in every town out here, which is so cool. But so they really look up to it out here. They had a nice big studio though, lots of participation, similar shows to like what we have, where people who want to talk about local government.
So what's the content like?
I mean, there was a lot of that. There was, since it was a college town, a lot of college stuff. So there was one show called Your Daily Hour with Me. 7 days a week, 1 hour a day, they did a show. And they never missed an episode, and they still haven't missed an episode, and it's been 7 years. So for 7 years, they've been doing this 1 hour a day, 7 days a week, never missed an episode.
What?
And you can go online. It's Your Daily Hour with Me. It's on YouTube. And it's like, that's one of the shows they have out there. They have a karaoke show where people just do, it's like a half hour live episode of karaoke. It's really fun. One of the guys that runs this station does it. And then they do a lot of cool training stuff. They reminded me sort of like functionally like the Plymouth Access Center. You know, they had a lot of participation though because of the college town thing, which is really fun.
Show me back. How did you get involved with PAC TV?
My mom wanted to start a cooking show, and there was like a guy who had a cooking show down there that had my mom on a couple episodes, and she was like, "That's fun." We were looking into it, and then they got me involved volunteering on these guys' like local politics talk show, and the ball just kept rolling from there, you know?
Because there are people down there that I'm friends with that do remember you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's so cool.
Because no one leaves PAC TV.
Right.
No one leaves.
That's cool.
So pretty much all the people that were working there when you were there are still there.
Yeah. No, I got to get down there. I've been back for about like 6 months now and I haven't gone down there yet. So
you will have to pay a visit. They're good friends of ours.
Yeah.
What else do I want to go? I want to jump back to your internship.
Yeah, totally.
It was a very unique time at MCTV. It was our second full year of our internship program. We were still pretty new. What was being an intern at the old MCTV? I mean, this is back in the days of our old facility.
I remember I was actively surprised the first time I walked in. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, it was so cool that, like, working with what you could even get your hands on, you guys were pulling off what you were pulling off because it was like this big open building where there was like the vacuum store and there was like a lady doing weird alternative doctor stuff. And then like...
colonics.
Yeah, exactly.
You can say it.
And then I can't remember.
It was a chiropractor?
Yeah, chiropractor, that's what it was. And then, so you'd come in and like our studio was in one part of this building and then the office was in the other part of the building. And there was a physical therapy, I think, was there too, and like all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But then, but people were pulling off cool stuff. I mean, there was so many people coming in making their shows, and you guys, before I came in, you had the high school kids doing their shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot. Oh, yeah.
I wish I could have gotten to be a part of that, but that was before me. And
you
then.
Oh, yeah, that was the year before you.
Yeah, exactly. And then.
Did you hear about what happened?
With the milk?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. My friend was on that show. And he was one of the guys that could drink a gallon of milk and keep it down.
The funniest part was they came in like 3 hours before and lined the whole studio. They came and like and they did it 2 weeks in a row. And so like the first time was hilarious because one of the kids was puking his brains out at this point. You know? And his dad called in for the show.
Oh, because it was live.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guy was like, I pay $30,000 a year for you to go to college and this is what I get. It was so funny because I actually, and then like I told my buddies about it. And so... They're like, I'm like, guys, they're doing it again this week. So like three of my buddies showed up and just sitting there watching these kids.
Yeah, puke their brains out.
Puke their brains out.
Yeah, that's a hilarious show. I just remember.
You worked on Bob's show.
I worked on Bob's show and that was really fun.
When I think of you and working on Bob's show, I was thinking of the infamous deception and manipulation.
Yeah, that was so funny. It was like one of my last days there and I was like, okay. Yeah, yeah. It was because I totally was like, Okay, last chance. I know this is, I wouldn't want to get fired. For those that don't know the story,
so Bob had a big graphic that blinked deception manipulation. I believe you found it hilarious that you can make the graphic blink.
Yeah.
And so Bob was doing Bob had a tape segment about a guy and his tomatoes. And it was just this normal thing. And in the middle of him, this guy talking about his tomatoes, this big graphic of deception manipulation.
Yeah, the guy's saying, like, tomatoes are great for your health.
Something like he's harvesting, and then Bob's like, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa,
no, it's not.
Because I was on the few Thursday nights I was there. I think Chris was on vacation or something like that, and it was one of the few Thursdays I was there at that point.
Yeah.
So
I just remember I was like, this is my only chance.
You and Bob had a very interesting relationship. It was like, you guys were...
Yeah, we were close. I think he saw the rebellious streak in me, and he wanted to foster it into something productive. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think, didn't he like kind of know you through your grandfather?
He obviously knows my grandfather.
For those who know, your grandfather is Ron Bersani.
Ron Bersani,
TIC
awesome
TIC founder, Citizen of the Year award winner.
Yep, so him and Bob worked pretty closely because Bob used to, I guess where it's not too bad, Bob used to read Playboys on TIC. Story behind that too, but
the one man that would only read it for the article.
Yeah, exactly. And then they ended up playing one of the things he was reading during a time slot that was supposed to be for like kids' stories. Oh. And there's so many complaints. They were like, "All right, Bob, you're never doing that again."
So you and Bob had like a very unique. I just remember you and like Bob loved you because you guys had like a very unique relationship. You guys would talk about really interesting things.
Yeah, yeah. He was into the weird stuff. I mean, he liked like palindromes. He would always tell me the palindromes, and I loved hearing them. He had, like, a man, a plan, a canal, Panama was one. I'll never forget that. I still can't even believe that's a palindrome. And then there was the go hang a salami, I'm a lasagna hog was another one. He had a bunch of random ones. But I always loved that. And he was always just nice to me. My one favorite Bob story, though, it was after I left. He had Taxzilla, and there's like a Godzilla figure that holds a $2 bill.
Still does.
And he took the $2 bill. They must have replaced it because he took the $2 bill out on air, and he wrote me a letter on air, and then wrapped it all up, put the $2 bill in, and was like, here, good luck dealing with the tax man as you become an adult, right? And he puts it into the envelope and ended up getting my school address and actually mailed it to my college dorm.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he was a funny guy.
Oh, that was good times back in the day.
Yeah.
What else do I want to go with this? So I'm going to jump into now. So you're our production assistant.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to jump forward.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it does. For those that don't know, what do you do here?
Yeah, so production assistant. Basically, I'm like right now, even it's about 2.5 months in, a little beyond that. And
it doesn't feel like 2.5 months. I feel like you've been here a lot longer.
It feels longer. Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I feel like I fit in here. You know, I feel like I get along so well.
And it was also like, it's also like the comfort factor of like knowing you.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this guy's great.
Yeah.
This guy's great. Yeah, he's a former intern of ours.
Yeah, and it's cool. And then, I mean,
there's a lot of hype built up.
Jen and Kayla and Sean,
yeah,
and getting to know these guys has been really cool. But like, really getting in step with your formats and your procedures and how things go around here. You know, it's so complicated because it's a studio. There's so many different things,
a lot of moving parts,
and every studio does it in their own way. So I'm figuring out how you guys do it, but you're making it easy for me to figure it out.
Yeah, it's almost like everyone. It's essentially the same core principle, but everybody has their own spin on it.
Yep.
So that's definitely it.
Yep. It's like, what do we do with the memory cards? Like, is your system like this, or is it like that, or is it, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
You've done some really, in the 2.5 months you've been here, you've opened up some different things and done some really kind of outside the box stuff. Tell me about some of that.
It's the name of the game when it comes to how I do things.
That's fine. Sure.
I got a local musician in here and we filmed a performance. It was really cool, something I'm trying to push to do more of. Right now, I'm still getting my bearings around the studio and figuring out exactly like what my week what the consistent week that I'll have will look like. Do you know what I mean?
There's no such thing as a real consistent
I know,
week.
Right?
The consistent week is that there is no consistent week.
Yeah, it's good.
But I think, I think also there's like people that come in at certain times, and so it's like working around that.
That's what I'm talking about, and figuring out like, all right, when is going to be my time to be able to shoot this thing? And so I'm scheduling with people and stuff like that, and so I started, and I was hoping I'd be able to pull off like a larger format late night show. Yeah. Reality set in pretty quick. It's like, okay, you got to start realistic. So I'm pulling it back, and I want to do like interviews. So I decided I wanted to do interviews with artists and talk to them about their art, and if they're musicians, maybe get like samples of their music and stuff like that. And that's going really well, and I'm doing it in a podcast format. Mm-hmm. It's the show Voices in Art. You can find it on our website.
Yep.
And it's so cool. I've done three so far. Two with some seasoned artists from the area, and one with one of our interns, 18-year-old kid.
And yeah, the one, I still call him Johnny.
Yeah.
The John one was awesome.
Yeah, I thought, that's up.
Because, I just, because it's funny, I've known him since he was a little kid.
Yeah.
And now it's just like seeing him, I don't know, grown up or whatever. It's like as like an artist too. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And kind of hearing the backstory and like it was very deep.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so nice to actually get that like emotionally honest in that conversation. It was so cool. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing that. I'm doing this weekly update. So I spend my Mondays doing research on everything going on in town. And then I write this whole script. And Tuesday, midday, I'll record the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's super fun. Mm-hmm. I actually really enjoy doing that. I'm learning so much about this town just doing that.
Yeah.
And then it's cool because everything that was already going on here, I'm getting to become a part of it. You know, helping out with the news program, I'll run the prompter or I'll run the switcher. Going out and shooting like field shoots is so much fun. Like, I'm enjoying all this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really for me right now, I'm focusing on getting the rhythm to everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's where I think once I get that down, I'm going to feel really solid in my position here.
Right. Think big picture on a lot of stuff. What's the vision for community media? Where do you see community media going? As someone that's been involved in it as a kid, who's been on the West Coast doing it, who kind of really thinks outside the box, where do you see community media going?
I mean, I think that the key for community media is getting youth involvement. Making sure people know that these places exist and that, like, the thing is, I mean, I'm going to spitball. We have at least $500,000 worth of stuff here. And like, no one.
Easily.
No one has access to that. No one. Like, you have to be rich to have access to that. But community media makes it so you don't have to be rich. And it's like, we get a lot of kids in here. And I've noticed since I started here, we've gotten more kids going in here. And that makes me really hopeful.
Right.
I see that being the future of community media is people realizing, this is my vehicle to getting to where I want to be. Mm-hmm. Like, just the other day, we had two people come in. I think this story will explain where I think the future of it is.
We had
two people come in, 22-year-olds, and they were just like fresh out of art school, did film stuff, and they want to be making like shorts, like artistic scripted shorts, and make a show out of that. That, I think, is such a, it's just such a positive direction for things to be moving in, because the degree to which, like, coming on and talking about local politics and stuff like that, like, yes, people are always going to want to use community media for that.
Yeah.
But
there's so many other parts of the town that should be shown off.
And Marshfield, I mean, alone, small little town like Marshfield, like, it's a sleepy little town, basically. Yeah. There's so much cool stuff going on here. There's so many entertainers. There's so much
stuff,
festivals, events. I mean, this town, and you get to see it if you turn on, you know, our channel, you get to see some really cool stuff in this town.
And there's so many, like, groups and organizations that, like, you never heard about or you don't know what they do, and then you kind of do, like, a deep dive into them. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Or, like, I've driven by that place for 20 years, and I have no clue what they did, so.
And we focus so much on that, too, at this station, is, like, getting involved with all of the local organizations, nonprofit organizations and stuff like that. I think that's a huge key to it, because that's what it's good for here. That's what this is good for. Is like, it's a place for people who are doing good for the community to let everybody know, hey, you can come do this. We talk about the farmers market. We talk about RTR. We talk about the hospices. I mean, the Alden House. The list goes on. The people we work with.
PSAs.
Yeah, PSAs. And helping people who are helping people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like what we do.
It was like we just, Kayla and I just went and visited the James Library in Norwell.
Yeah.
It was like driven by this place probably thousands of times. No clue what they did and all the great programs they have. It was like, okay, this is a perfect partner for us.
That's so
cool.
Somewhere
down the road. What do you think the role of community media is?
I mean,
kind of going off of what you just said.
Yeah.
What do you think the role of community media is?
I think that it's, I mean, the role of community media is to strengthen the First Amendment. That's exactly what it is. It's it actually gives a backbone to the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has the access to get their voice out there, unless they live in a town with a public access TV station, and then they totally can. Because they can come in, they can record their message, they can codify their message into something solid, replayable, put it on YouTube, they can put it out there. I mean, it takes voices and magnifies them, you know? I think it's really cool.
That's a very crystalline answer. As soon as you start talking about the First Amendment, I was like, that's a very crystalline answer.
Yeah, it's true though. It's what it really does. And it's cool, it gives people a chance to get their hands on equipment. I mean, we have 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old kids coming in that not for another 10 years, or not for another 5 years, would have ever had the chance to get inside of a studio like this. And that's only if they managed to have the chance to get into a school, which they may not have if they hadn't gotten the experience they get here. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really can, I think that this place makes a really big difference in lots of individual people's lives.
Wrapping up, because I know you have a shoot to do, and we'll help out with the shoot. Give me your best Chris Lawn story.
Okay.
Or memory.
Oh, dude, there's so many.
There's one I'm thinking of, but I don't know if I'm trying to give you were there for it or not.
Okay. I mean, my favorite Chris Lawn memory, I mean, he was just really having Chris as a friend was great.
Yeah, he loved you guys.
Yeah. I mean, coming out of like high school and knowing, like, okay, I'm about to move to the other side of the country. Like, I was aware of all that stuff when I was working for you guys. Mm-hmm. And having the two of you there, and Chris, we'd, like, wrap up at work all the time together, and sometimes we'd hang out. Like, if it was a Friday, I'd be going to hang out with my friends. He'd be like, what's up? This is cool. And I'd hang out with Chris. And it was cool, like, having that friend who was in the media scene, who was into all the stuff. It was like, I'm trying to think of a specific story, but I mean, just having Chris as a friend was
cool. Memory moment, you know?
Yeah.
I know, yes. But I think you were there for this. Were you there when he dumped the whole thing of Pixie Sticks into his mouth?
I'm trying to remember.
I'm pretty sure you were
there. That's hilarious.
Because my brother was there when he did, and he swears you were there.
Yeah. Okay, well then probably. There was also, I think I remember your brother being there.
When we did our summer video program, we did like a parody commercial. And one of the things was supposed to be like multicolored sugar.
Yeah.
And so he bought like a huge thing of Pixie Sticks and poured them onto poster board.
Yeah.
And then he just took the poster board. And for those that don't know, Chris is our former access coordinator, and he loved food.
Yeah. I was going to say, my good story about him is food.
And most I have probably 100 Chris stories, and most of them involve some type of food thing. Like the time we went to Burlington, Vermont for a conference, and we spent like an hour trying to find the perfect restaurant for him to eat at. We walked like back and forth on the main drag in Burlington, and he checked out every menu until he found the place that he wanted. But so he took this, so he poured all these like Pixie Sticks, it must have been like eight of them, like eight or nine probably. And then he just filmed it, and then he folded up the poster board and just dumped it all in his mouth. And my brother still is like, oh my God, I can't believe that.
I think one of the things I found hilarious was the travel sriracha, how he had like a traveling bottle of sriracha
the sriracha was always hilarious.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's a legendary man.
Or when he taught me how to make the perfect peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Tons of different things like that.
That's a legendary Chris Lund. He's classic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find anything else for you.
I know, we covered a lot of ground.
We did cover a lot of ground today in this podcast.
So. That was fun.
It was fun. So thank you for doing it.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
My pleasure.
Cool.